We continue our series entitled Turning Point, and this morning we're looking at wrestling with hidden issues, and it's the story of Jacob, which is one of those incredible stories in Scripture. You recall that sometimes we think of the forefathers, particularly of the Hebrew faith, but also our faith as well. We think of Abraham and Sarah, we think of Isaac and Rebekah, and of course we think of Jacob. We often hear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we're looking at Jacob this morning. We are in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 and following. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Jacob and the two female servants. He put the female servants and the children in front of him, Leah and her children next, and Jacob and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, I love the story of this little boy who went to his father and said, "Dad, did you go to church when you were little?" And the dad said, "Every single Sunday, and Sunday school as well." And the son thought for a moment, and he said, "Thought so. I don't think it helped me either." You know, for lots of us, it hit close to home, didn't it? Yeah, for some of us. You know, for lots of us, it's a lifetime of development in the Christian faith and our character. And it's humorous, but I think God is at work through all of our lives. I think all of us have some struggles that are individual to us, and of course, some things we share with other people. But I don't know what you're struggling with today, and there's lots of things going on in our hearts and lives, but maybe during this pandemic, we've realized that we all have some hidden issues as well as those things that are obvious. And so I think it's interesting this morning as we look at Jacob, because Jacob struggled and indeed wrestled with hidden issues. So I invite you to walk back in this story this morning. I just want to recap where we have been for a moment, and you recall that Isaac and Rebekah is one of the great love stories of the Bible, and Rebekah and Isaac had twins. And we're told that even in the womb, these two were wrestling with each other. Well, it turns out Esau was born first, and then Jacob. Now, back in those times, the firstborn had the lion's share of the inheritance. Now, it's interesting because Jacob's name means trickster or deceiver or manipulator, and he really lived up to his name. Because even though rightfully that birthright went to Esau, Jacob managed to manipulate Esau out of his birthright. Then later on in life, he managed to manipulate and trick Esau out of the blessing that Isaac was going to give him in his older years. And so he had to flee for his life. And you wonder what was going through his mind on the road as he fled for his life. He had wrestled with his twin all of his life. Now, there couldn't be, even though they were twins, they were completely opposite. Esau was the dark, swarthy, hairy kind of Duck Dynasty guy. He was the man's man, and we're told that Isaac favored Esau. Jacob, on the other hand, was just the opposite. He was fairer and wasn't hairy. His hobbies were gardening and cooking, right? And Rebekah favored him. It's not good when parents favor their kids. Would you agree? And so as he's on this road, you wonder all the thoughts that were going through his mind. And it might be easy for us to sort of look at this story and say, well, they're twins. You know, that happens from time to time. But in our own lives, even though we may not be twins, isn't there this inner self that you sometimes wrestle with? If you think about it, if you read Romans 7, Paul talks about the struggle he has with the inner person, with the person that he wants to be, and the person that God's grace is letting him become. But all of us have some spiritual issues we might be struggling with. All of us may have some family dynamics that we're struggling with. I mean, is there anyone out there that doesn't have some family dynamics? If not, you might be in denial. But anyway, and I see the spouses, you know, going like this, you know, for hidden issues. Well, we all have them, right? And so Jacob, the end of that first day, tired and discouraged, you don't know what was going through his mind, but I think some of those things were. He lays his head on a rock for a pillow, and he goes to sleep. Well, in the middle of the night, God gives him a dream. God gives him a vision. And it's this famous vision of this stairway to the heavens. And there's angels ascending and descending this staircase. And he hears the voice of the Lord from the top of the staircase ring out promises to Jacob that God would bring the promises to fulfillment and that he would bless Jacob. And Jacob, through that blessing, would be a blessing to all nations. Well, he rises in the morning and he anoints the rock that made his pillow. And he calls the place Bethel, which means house of God. And he says, how awesome is this place? God was here, and I didn't even realize it until now. And I think in our own journeys of life, many times you and I are caught between a rock and a hard place. And it's in those moments that God whispers to us a new dream, a new vision, and God promises to be with us. Amen. And I think many times we're so busy with so many other things, including the hidden issues of life, that God has to bring us to a place like that where we'll look up to him. Now, we may not see a stairway to heaven, but God does give us dreams and visions. I do believe that. But just because you have a dream and a vision doesn't mean that the road will be easy. And so it was with Jacob. The road ahead was not an easy one, and so he went to his uncle's house, Laban, as Isaac had told him to do. There he falls in love with Rachel, and it turns out that Laban is even more of a deceiver and a manipulator than Jacob. Isn't it amazing how God uses people, right? So Laban has Jacob work for Rachel for 7 years, and then, you know, we all have masks now, so we know all about mistaken identity, but it turns out that Laban sort of slips in Leah at the last moment where Rachel was supposed to be. And I don't know what kind of a, you know, wedding celebration or bachelor's party that was, but Jacob doesn't know it until the next morning. And he wakes up at breakfast and there's Leah. Now you can only imagine what went through his mind. So he goes to Laban. He says, what have you done? And he says, Laban says, well, in this part of the country, the oldest daughter has to be married first. And Jacob probably said, well, it would have been nice to know that first, right? So sort of a PG-13 story. But anyway, in the midst of this soap opera, Laban says, okay, you can marry Rachel as well, work another 7 years. And so he has prospered during this time. But it's interesting because God used the very quality that was this inner quality that Jacob struggled with, this deceiver, this manipulator that was trying to get the blessing, that was trying to get the birthright, and he put him face to face with someone who was even more of a manipulator and deceiver, and I think it broke him. And I think sometimes in our own life, God puts difficult people in our lives, even though we'd like a smooth pathway, to sometimes break us, to sometimes sort of let go of some of the things that we're struggling with, some of the things we're trying to manipulate to bring God's blessing to pass. Well, the day comes, and it's actually been quite some time. Certainly more than 15 years, and Jacob finally decides it's time to go home, right? And so he's still wrestling with these hidden issues, isn't he? And on the way back, you don't know exactly what's going through his mind, but he comes to this spot that is fairly close to home, and he has his wives and family and servants and flocks and what have you go before him. Now, it's interesting because psychologists tell us many times the way we deal with the hidden issues of life are two primary ways. There's attachment and there's avoidance. Well, avoidance, you know, we run from it, right? A lot of us run from the problems. That's understandable. Attachment's sort of the opposite in some ways. Attachment is relationships, many times also the symbols of success, right? So fame, power, money, you know, all those things. You know, for Jacob, it was goats and flocks and wealth and power. And so he has all these symbols of success, and he puts them out in front of him. Between himself and Esau, maybe to say, you know, how great he is at that moment. But then after all that has gone, he goes across the Jabbok River, and he has a alone moment with God. It's actually more than a moment with God. It's an all-night wrestling match. Have you ever wrestled with God? I mean, it's one thing to wrestle with our hidden issues, but have you ever wrestled with God? And so we're told that he meets up with an angel or a messenger of some kind, and he wrestles with this angel all night long. And in the middle of this wrestling match, he's just tired and exhausted and what have you, and the angel says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "No, no, not until you bless me." Have you ever wanted God's blessing so bad you're just willing to do anything? And sometimes, you know, there are those of us who are more serene, we're more contemplative, and there's just the doers, you know what I'm saying? And the doers have a hard time listening. And I think in the prayer, there's not just telling God what we want, but also listening. And so I think Jacob is doing both, but sometimes God just understands who we are. And so Jacob wrestled all night long, and we're told in that moment, the angel asked him, "What's your name?" And Jacob responds, "Jacob." Now, you have to understand that there was a lot in that name. There's a lot of history, all those hidden issues, all those issues that he wrestled with, the manipulator, the one who had manipulated and deceived his brother for the birthright and the blessing, the one who tried to manipulate other kinds of things. And so he just had to admit who he was, right? But then the angel says, "You will no longer be called Jacob, but you will be called Israel." And Israel means the one who wrestled with God and people and won. So it means the one who wrestled and won. He's a winner now through God's blessing. And I think that's an amazing moment. Now, he did have to limp because his hip was taken out of place. I think maybe in our own lives it's like that, because you and I try to wrestle and struggle in our own sort of ways to earn God's love for us, right? And then we found that it's only in letting go. It's only in letting go and let God doing it for us through Christ that we find God's love and grace and forgiveness, right? And so Jacob goes across the river, and I want you to notice what happens. Jacob, who had taken his things, his symbols of avoidance and his symbols of attainment and acceptance, puts his family and his flocks, and he puts them behind him, and he goes first in order to meet Esau. And it's interesting because, you know, we can either flee from our problems, or we can fear our problems, or we can face our problems. And sometimes we've amassed all these things through attachment and avoidance, but we need to have the strength to face it with God's help. And so I don't know what was going through Jacob's mind, but he decided he was going to go first. And as he goes to Esau, he probably rehearsed all these things in his mind.
To take his life and these years apart, and as he meets Esau, he falls down on the ground before Esau, but Esau pulls him up, and they embrace and they weep together. This beautiful moment of reconciliation and reunion, like no words are even necessary. It's all behind us. Isn't that amazing? What a story of reconciliation. I don't know that it would have been possible if Jacob hadn't really wrestled with the hidden issues and God had changed his life in that moment of desperation. And I think in the same way, often God changes our life in moments where we are desperate and wrestling, and if God doesn't show up, then all hope is lost. Now, for those of us of the Christian faith, when we look at this story, it's hard not to see some imagery of the Divine Father. I mean, what was the hidden issue after all? Was it really that Jacob didn't like Esau? Was that really the issue? I mean, they were opposite. I have to believe, and it's a bit of the psychologist in me, perhaps, or maybe just the pastor, that it wasn't about Esau. It was about Isaac. I believe Jacob didn't really believe that Isaac loved him as much as Esau. He just didn't believe the father's love was there for him. And all the struggling for the birthright and all the struggling for the blessing was really all about that. But in that moment of self-realization where God blessed him, maybe he found a new self-identity. And maybe when Esau met him, Esau whispered the father's message of love to him. And so when you think about our journey of faith, we're all sort of wounded in some way. We wonder, does our Creator love us as we are? Wounded and wrestling with all the hidden issues. And so it is that Christ comes to us, different in many ways than Esau, but as the Son of the Father, to bring a message of reconciliation, to lift us from our trembling knees and let tears of failure and anger even become tears of forgiveness and joy and reconciliation. And that's the message I see here too, along with all the other kinds of things. So this morning, whatever we're wrestling with, and if we're honest, we're all wrestling with something, wanting to be loved by our Creator, by our Heavenly Father, we need to hear the message of reconciliation and see this story of Jacob as a metaphor of our own life. It was real and powerful how we wrestle with hidden issues and sometimes with a sort of an inner image of ourselves. There's a story that I love, true story. I mean, of course, this was supposed to be Summer Olympics. I don't know if you're a Summer Olympics fan person. But in the 2012 Olympics, after that was over, one of my heroes, as I love swimming, is Michael Phelps, who in 2012 retired after the London Summer Olympics and hung up the swimming career. Now, he had a record number of Olympic medals, but he records in his own sort of biography on that and his own life words that when he left the swimming pool, that was his whole identity. Being an Olympic swimmer, Olympic medalist, all the medals that he had won, he said that when he left and retired at a fairly young age, he didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he was outside the swimming pool, outside of the symbols of success that he had accrued and the media and the attention and the publicity and the power and weight that is in our culture today. And so he spiraled into this depression and he began to abuse alcohol. And he had a substance abuse problem. He became so negative, he thought about taking his own life. And so he decided to put himself into an institution, a wise move, and to take care of that. While he was there struggling with his own issues with that and his own depression and some of these thoughts of suicide, someone gave him a book by Rick Warren. And it's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And as he read through that, he began to hear the call of the Father's love to him. His identity and his willingness to be loved didn't have to do with winning Olympic medals and being the world champion, but that God loved him as he is, and that God had a calling for his life. And so he took that path of recovery, and Pastor Rick Warren reached out to him. They became good friends. It became something to mentor to him. He decided to go come out of retirement for the 2016 Summer Olympics. Remember, it was just an incredible time, but he struggled even in that moment, and there were tweets of encouragement from Pastor Rick, but I think the biggest thing was God's message of healing love to his heart that restored him. He ended up, of course, being the all-time winner of the most Olympic medals ever, 28, but the biggest thing was he knew God's acceptance, God's reconciling love. I don't know what you're wrestling with today, but all of us are wrestling with something. This story of Jacob is a story for all the ages. The truth be told, if you look through the scriptures, oftentimes people refer to the God of Jacob more than any other patriarchs in all the Old Testament. And you wonder why that is. Because I think when you look at Abraham and you look at Isaac, sometimes you see this daunting faith of traveling this great journey to the promised land and to Egypt and back with Abraham and Sarah. And you see this great love story in Isaac and Rebekah. But with Jacob, you see a person that we can all relate to. At least I can. A guy who messed up time after time after time again, tried to manipulate God's blessing, felt the wounds of maybe a father's love, not the way that he thought it was. but then along the way, had a vision and then a wrestling match with an angel, and God finally just broke through all of it despite Jacob and changed his name. And whatever your name is today, I encourage you to hear God whisper to you the name Beloved. Beloved, that you are a son or daughter of God, that God loves you, whatever your wounds are from your family or from past failures or present stresses and all the angst over what the future is going to become in this moment. Know that God, through Christ, has come with a voice of love and reconciliation to us. Whatever you're going through this morning, know that God is here with us. God has a message of love and grace, and those hidden issues that you and I wrestle with can become words of love and reconciliation that echo through us down through the pages, and as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, can become a healing moment. One last note. It's interesting, when Isaac wanted to bless Esau, we're told that he was up in his years and thought that he would die shortly. Of course, he ended up blessing Jacob, and then he had to send Jacob on his way. But Isaac is still alive. 15-some years later, Isaac is still alive. And you wonder, why is Isaac still alive? I think I know. I think the reason that Isaac was still alive is because Isaac wanted to see his two sons reconciled. He wanted to see the wounds that may have some kind of complicity in wounding his son Jacob and have to send him away. But he wanted to see a family come back together in reconciliation. And I think parents and grandparents know that your prayers don't go unanswered. The blessing that Isaac gave Jacob eventually won out, not just for Jacob, but also for Esau. The healing blessing of God's love would be able to embrace both sons and know God's eternal reconciliation. So know that our prayers and the blessings we ask of God will find their fulfillment, even if it's years and years down the road. So whether you're a parent with a son or daughter that's out there in the world feeling somewhat wounded and wondering if they're loved, and you want them to come back home like the prodigal son, or you're sort of that prodigal, that Jacob that is wounded and on the way between a rock and a hard place or trying to find your way back home, wrestling with all the hidden issues, know that God is a God that meets us along the way, so much so that he sent Jesus Christ to come and to share our life and to give his life on Calvary, that we would know God's forgiveness and grace and outstretched arms of love and the power of the resurrection for new life in this life and the life to come. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we know that we all struggle just like Jacob with hidden issues. They may be different hidden issues, but they're all wounding our hearts in some way, shape, or form. So help us in this story, but even more through your word ringing through the ages, and as we will shortly gather around your table this morning, to hear your voice of love, to feel your healing love of your spirit, healing our hearts and lives. And may we have words of reconciliation to brothers and sisters around us, near and far. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.